Reggie Atitula is out today. Brandon Scott in with John Lopez. Figgy Fig here on In the Loop. And we got some bold predictions, or at least one. Mm-hmm. A bold prediction regarding the Texans schedule. And we've been breaking down the schedule throughout the day, gave our initial reactions to it, even went through the schedule and gave our wins and losses. But my guy, DJ Bieniemy, over at ESPN, imagine this was an assignment for all of the ESPN beat writers, NFL beat writers, to kind of give your overall analysis and add in a bold prediction about the team that you cover as it relates to their schedule. And I want to get y'all's thoughts about this because when I read this, look,
last year he had the Colts winning the division.
Man,
was that DJ?
I think that was him, yeah.
DJ,
he was on with Mina Kimes.
DJ has a thing for giving the AFC South way more credit than it clearly deserves. Now, I'm going to be honest about this. I think I've been right there with him in years past, but this was the year I decided I would not be duped. I would not be fooled by this here AFC South thinking that it's better than it's supposed to be or better than we thought. But I want y'all to check out this bold prediction. He goes through the schedule. He's got like key stretches and dates to circle, and we can get into those a little bit later. But I want to get to this bold prediction and see what y'all think of it. Do you agree, disagree? Would you poke any holes in this? The Texans, bold prediction from DJ Bieniemy at ESPN. Mm-hmm. Quote, the Texans will be fighting to clinch the division in week 18. Each team in the AFC South has added talent, while the Texans have a first-place schedule. So, it's not guaranteed the Texans will run away with the division like they did in 2024. The field has closed the gap on Houston. I want to focus on that last sentence here.
Yeah.
Do y'all, or maybe even the first two, the first sentence and the last sentence. He says the Texans will be fighting to clinch the division at the end of the season and that the field has closed the gap on Houston. Do you agree?
Yeah, as I saw that, I'm kind of in two different lanes at the same time.
Okay.
The one lane is, as you saw when we made the predictions, you know, week by week, I only had the Texans going 10-7, but I think sweeping the division.
Mm.
I might have had them losing one game at Indianapolis. I don't remember, but dominating the division.
You got them dominating the division.
So on the one hand, I don't agree because I think they're going to win the division. They're going to dominate the division. And if there's any ties, they're going to have all the tiebreakers.
However,
I'm not going to say that the division has closed the gap on Houston, but I think there are places where they're closing the gap. And that's a big difference between closed and closing because Travis Hunter is a scary proposition in Jacksonville. But you know, as much as that's scary, he's not a quarterback. You know, he can affect games. He can maybe win games if he's as good as I think he's going to be. You know, they have a new coach and a new general manager in Jacksonville, but they're completely unproven, and I have no confidence in either one of those cats.
Yeah, I agree with the notion of them closing the gap.
Yeah.
I just don't think it really matters.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think the closing of the gap or whatever gains they've made on said gap, metaphorical gap here that we're talking about, I don't think that those gains are significant enough to where the Texans are going to be sweating it by the end of the year.
Right.
Nor is it significant enough to make them as good as the Texans.
Exactly.
I just don't think that that's the case. Now, I could obviously be wrong about that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you just think about it. The Colts and their quarterback situation is so bad that they done went out and got Daniel Jones. Mm-hmm. And none of us know who their quarterback is. They got two quarterbacks that we know of, whose names we know, guys we've heard of, and we don't know who their quarterback is. Is it Anthony Richardson? Is it Daniel Jones? Is either option a good one? So there's that. Then you go over to the Jacksonville Jaguars, which are like the epitome of disappointment and underachieving. Now, they have leveled up. They add Travis Hunter. You know, they're doing some things along the margins. They've got, you know, a new GM or new leadership. So they're doing some different things, right? You can't tell me that you really believe that they've closed the
gap in
a significant enough way to make them like. Are you picking them to beat the Texans in this division or to win this division?
Yeah, I just said no.
Absolutely not. The league itself doesn't even respect Jacksonville enough to give them more than one nationally televised game.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Titans are the one that are kind of interesting to me because they're the one. The Titans are the only ones that believe in themselves. are the only ones that believe in the Titans.
Yeah.
Because they operated that way last offseason going into the season, like they were going to be somebody.
Yeah.
And now, obviously, now
they were splurging, too.
They were splurging, dog. And then they go out
there. They had me a little nervous. I'm like, maybe they could be a thorn in a you know what.
Hey, they're splurging again.
No, I want to look, I'm going to take a victory lap on this.
Yeah.
I took note of the splurge, but I was like, look, good for them. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's going to make them that much better. I don't think they're going to be good.
Yeah.
You know, like, if I was a Titans fan, I'd be happy about them investing in the team the way that they were and being aggressive the way that they were. But there wasn't a lot going on over there that made me think that they were going to be much better. And then, lo and behold, they're picking first overall with a chance at Cam Ward. Now, Cam Ward, to me, is the biggest wild card in the division because he's the one where I just cannot tell you what is that.
Yeah.
What is that supposed to be? What is that supposed to look like? What is ultimately the impact on Cam Ward? Adding a real, if he is in fact a real quarterback to a team that has pieces around it, like we're talking about, they have made solid investments into their team. What Cam Ward is ultimately will determine how much of the gap the division has actually closed, because I don't believe in those other two teams.
Yeah, no, I agree, but I do think you can argue all three are at least making moves that could be closing the gap, even if you don't believe they actually are closing the gap. You know, Jaguars. They did get a new coach and a general manager. I just don't think they're very good. Yeah. Some people might. They did get Travis Hunter, who I think is the best all-around player. I mean, you know, independent of position.
In the draft.
Best player in the draft.
Yes.
You know, they are doing something. The Titans, I mean, they still have a pretty ferocious defensive front.
They do.
And so that's
– And beat you last year at home with Will Levis.
Yeah, so, and that's not going anywhere. And then kind of a wild card in Cam Ward, as you just illustrated. The Colts are the ones to me that are just like – I mean, they've got –
You know what?
I mean, like,
the Colts would be the answer to this question had they, like, let's just say somehow they had the number one overall.
Sure.
Right? Like, if they had properly, or maybe properly is not the right word because I feel like they did what they could, but if they had better addressed the quarterback situation, either that be Anthony Richardson actually being what they drafted him to be, or going out and getting a proven, let's just say, better quarterback than Daniel Jones, that to me would have been closing the gap because that's where it's closest, right?
Yeah.
Roster-wise, Indianapolis is still the team that I look at as the biggest threat or the closest to the Texans, but they're still lacking that key thing. Anthony Richardson somehow figures it out, or Daniel Jones is the Daniel Jones that he was, what, 2 years ago or whatever it was when he had the good year? Okay, now we're talking about something different. But both of those guys got more evidence of being not that than actually being that. And so I'm going to lean towards them not having a quarterback.
I mean, they flat out said that, hey, we were going to have an open quarterback competition between Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones. That doesn't put any fear in anyone. So, but I also feel like they feel like they could be, you know, they're a quarterback away or whatever it might be, but they have some pieces that they could be closing the gap a little bit. And some pieces on the defensive side as well. But no, I think I get where DJ might have landed there, but that's a big leap.
But it does seem like you agree with his first point, and this is probably what I disagree with more, is that they'll be, and this is based off of us going through the schedule and giving y'all the win-loss record as we see it. He's got them fighting to clinch the division. I think part of the logic is because he thinks the division is better. But, you know, they obviously play more teams than just the division. He's got them fighting to clinch the division at the end. I, notably, have them with the ability to rest guys.
Well, you saw when we went through the schedule, I said they were 9-7 going into last week, and they had to win that the last week, and they'll have to win that last game. I think they will, but I think the division will pretty much be in pocket. That's just to get to 10 wins.
Yeah.
So I don't see any of these. Although I did see this morning someone had the Jaguars finishing 10-7. In 2020,
what are they smoking on?
I don't know what's in their cup.
What's in their cup? Yeah. Right, exactly. you'd have to. That's somebody that's definitely going all in on
that's cooler
on Trevor Lawrence and the Travis Hunter.
Yeah, I was gonna say you probably thinking somebody unlocked Trevor Lawrence at that point.
Yeah. They think Liam Cohen is a magician.
They think they gonna unlock Trevor Lawrence and be the person he thought he was gonna. We all thought he was gonna be this franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
Hey, side note: is Liam Cohen gonna turn out to be a con man? He talks like kind of like a.
They both do.
I get,
so does the magnificent Gladstone.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? That's really the
all
one.
The little isms and
the magnificent Gladstone
buzz phrases and buzzwords, and
that's the dude I could see from 10 years from now. You look up like, man, this dude lied on his resume. No, I'm just kidding, but it definitely gives those snake oil salesman kind of vibes. Like, I don't know if this guy is
in the back of my mind. I'd be a little worried though, because I felt like we had the same conversation with Nick Sirianni. Whenever he spoke, and it's just like, man, what is this guy talking? Like,
I'm just a little worried. The difference is
just a small little piece, just worried.
Sirianni sounded like an idiot, and turns out he's not. Mm-hmm. This guy sounds like, you know, is trying to sound overly smart, but is he really though?
You just turned on Siri by saying Sirianni on my phone.
Oh, really?
Look at that. it's logging everything.
Hey, I wonder how often that happens in Philly.
Yeah.
That's wild. Like, why is... Oh, you said Sirianni.
Yeah. and through the mic at that, did they hear it through the headphones? Yeah.
Don't say Jose Siri.
That's right. Go ahead. I'm kind of with Figgy on this one, like, hesitance
just,
I have.
Just a small little part.
But it's a slightly different. Like Liam Cohen and the Magnificent Gladstone, they make Sirianni look cool. Like, they make him look hip.
That's true.
You know, that's how dorky they are. And the only thing I'm hesitating on is, all right, so this has turned into like a very dorky sports world. It's a nerd-based sports world.
They're leaning all into it with that organization, too.
And they are going all, like, could we be wrong? Could I be wrong? On maybe they're just really nerdy, but they're good.
Oh yeah. That's possible.
Yeah,
I'm holding out a possibility.
Yeah, because it seemed like that organization was going with the hard asses, football hard asses. Mm-hmm. Now they just went a 180. Yeah. And now let's get this nerdy, dorky GM.
And what if it works?
out of all the teams in the division, the Jaguars are the ones that I've always taken the least seriously.
Me too.
It is literally going to have to work for me to look at them differently.
Yeah.
Like, I can't give it no optimism, glass half full. The Jags stay the Jags.
Yeah.
The Jags be the Jags. Yeah. So, like, until they do something different, until they give me a reason. I mean, if going out and drafting Trevor Lawrence, supposedly the most surest of things that you can possibly find out there, haven't fixed it, I don't know. I don't know if some nerdy Gladstones and Cohens is going to fix it.
I agree with that. I agree with that. But it's just a small part of my brain is like.
Me too, but the nerd.
When did they unlock it?
Like, I'm not all in. I use data and stats and advanced metrics. We all do now, but not like that. We're not like in the lab, you know?
Yeah.
And just completely taking the human element out of things. They have, and it works for some people. What if it works? That's the only hesitance I have.
Yeah,
it might be a slim chance though.
Yeah. Careful what you wish for and what you may predict, because it's very possible that the Jaguars could have egg on my face by the end of the season. Mm-hmm. Hopefully not. He does have one to mention before we get out of here. DJ says that the date to circle on the schedule is week 5 against the Ravens. Look, that's go for me. Be the date to like.
That's like
forget about or like
circle this date to go to a to see a horror movie.
Yeah,
or let's go in this haunted house.
Or let's go to brunch.
Let's go to the scene of the murder.
Let's go do almost anything else to distract us from the torture that's about to take place. So
that's like circling the date. You want to see this dead body on this date?
You want to see?
Like, I want to see that.
But you know what? The other side of it, which, and I'll give him credit for this, the circling of the date. And he makes this point. They win that game.
Oh, yeah.
Going into the bye week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you could, like, I don't know if there could be a more significant, morale boosting regular season win that you could possibly get for the Texans
now. They're going to rise up in the rankings.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to have people like ESPN, like, oh, yeah, the Houston, the top three team.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, 100%. All right. So we got the mixtape coming up, Figgy's mixtape. What we got?
Man, so what's one weird rule your parents had growing up that you thought was totally normal until you got older? 713-572-4610. And I want to play kind of a quick little game. Are you guys ready?
Are we ready?
Are you ready?
It sounds like a time. We'll do that next. Figgy's Mixtape in the Loop, Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down. On a Thursday, happy Thursday to everyone out there. What is one rule or one weird rule your parents had growing up that you thought was totally normal until you got over it? Oh, 713-572-4610. I got a whole bunch of like just random ones people brought up and all that stuff. The one personally for me was a rule that I couldn't I had to follow or just some type of random thing was I couldn't use the word lie.
That's so funny.
Lie was considered a cuss word. I couldn't say lie. I had to say telling stories. For some reason, just saying the word lie or saying somebody lying, that was you better off using a cuss word, using the F word.
And that's a weird one because I feel like that one is kind of particular to the community, if you will. And I don't know what that's about. I wish that I could talk to our elders, reach our ancestors somewhere and find out where did the term lie or lying become taboo to the point to where you wouldn't allow your children to say it.
I remember specifically saying, hey, so-and-so lying. Mm-hmm. And my mother like, don't you say, you say telling stories.
Okay, mom.
I didn't get it.
It's like, guess what? It mean the same thing.
Yeah. I didn't get it, man.
Yeah, exactly.
So send them in 713-572-4610.
That was unique to you. Now, you have to realize, you know, I grew up in a very Hispanic household, you know.
Oh, word.
Spanish was the
Never would have guessed.
It was the first language I actually learned way back in the day, although I, you know, have struggle occasionally now speaking it because I don't practice it very often. So it was very, very Hispanic, and it was very traditional that way. I wore a collared shirt, like a dress shirt, and it wasn't a uniform, you know, to school. Like, you had to have slacks, like they call them slacks, pants.
Yeah,
I could hear my mom's voice and my dad's voice in my head. You wear slacks and a dress shirt is what they would call it every day to school until I got to like middle school.
Dang.
Like, I had a shirt, collar.
And this was not mandated by the school. This was just straight up from the parents.
You had to dress. My dad would always say, you have to look presentable. You have to look presentable. You have to wear a shirt, collared shirt and pants to school every day.
Say, man. That's back when we used to raise them right. Because, like, I obviously don't enforce that rule.
Yeah.
But I agree with it.
Yeah.
I agree with it. Like, and not maybe to the extreme, but the older I got, and I got to this point maybe even before I had kids, but definitely by the time I was an adult, I was pro-uniform.
No, this was not uniform, but I get it.
It's kind of the same concept, like, looking presentable. I think uniform also has a lot to do with being able to identify the students, like who's supposed to be here and who's not. But also, I think there's a...
No, they were adamant.
There's a decorum thing about it.
Yeah.
Like, I've gone on this tangent before about how at the school...
Pajama day, baby.
The kids... Well, here's what I learned. It don't even be pajama day, apparently. They just be wearing the pajamas.
Or pants. Pajama pants.
Oh, man. Yeah,
like, you just look
they
up...
They do it by choice.
Yeah, you just look up, and it's almost like unofficial, but like on Fridays, but honestly, any day, they'll show up in pajamas.
Yeah,
I'm like, they have no chance in life they're going to fail, my child included. I'm going to have to take care of this child until the day that I die, because she's silly enough to think that it's okay to wear pajama pants out in public.
Anyway. What about your house? Oh, the one you said earlier was in my, it was a rule in my house too, but go ahead.
Yeah, so I can count on probably one hand the amount of times I did sleepovers as a kid, just could not do them. I remember in sixth grade, there was one of my best friends had a sleepover at a hotel. My mom knew the mom. And it felt like maybe the first sleepover I could remember, and maybe the only one I can really remember as a child that didn't include, let's say, somebody we were closely related to.
Yeah.
Right? Like, outside of that, like, I could spend the night at family's house.
Mm-hmm.
But if we wasn't related, my mama wasn't really making that big effort to know your mama, and maybe I could go to your house. Maybe we could meet up, but I wasn't spending the night at your house, and you damn sure wouldn't spend the night at mine.
No, we
that just was not a thing we did.
I don't remember, at least until like high school or something. You know, I don't remember spending the night at anybody's.
I don't think it happened.
Yeah.
The 281 said, "Where is it? That couldn't use my parents' real name. That was one too. I couldn't call my mom, hey, Pat.
For sure.
No way I can.
I wouldn't dream of that.
I can't do that. Another one that I couldn't do in my house, no toy guns. Like, my mom did not play.
I had all kinds of
because
guns.
Because we said, like, kids used to have the little cap guns
yeah.
that you could get from the dollar store, and you hit it, it just pop, pop. But it was clearly like a gun because they used to have it bright as hell, like purple and orange, so you can know it's not real.
Yeah.
But my parents was like, nope, none of that. No water guns. I couldn't really have water guns. It was, yeah.
How about this really one? I kind of get that.
How about this one from the 346? Our mom made us wash our feet before going to bed.
Like Jesus?
Like, well, just I guess so your feet, because you, maybe they're running around barefoot or whatever, get dirty in the bed.
Nah, I mean, I'm good with it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, like, I just would figure that happens in the bath, you know.
like Jesus?
Take a bath.
Like, for example, my mom used to make sure, and I still have to do this, you reach a certain age, or like when you have kids, this has been my experience, you still got to make them bathe. Mm-hmm. Like, if you just don't tell them to, they might go a few days without bathing. So, like, like my youngest kids are 10 and 8.
Yeah.
Well, they got to be made to bathe. Like, if I don't tell them to bathe, they'll just stink all the time.
Yeah, wants to leave it to Beaver type stuff.
I figure, though, at that point when you get in there, it is encouraged to go ahead and wash them feet. If you're going to wash everything else, you know, go ahead and wash them feet, too.
Yeah. A couple more from this list I got. Somebody said our kitchen used to close at 9 p.m.
Oh, that's a rule now.
Yeah.
Yeah. 9 o'clock. Don't go in that kitchen.
Yep.
We used to.
No juice, no water. Nope.
We used to only be able to get one snack. I'm sure some of that was financial.
Yeah.
Like you have dinner. We had dinner early, always have. And then, like, about 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, we could go get one snack. That's it. Don't be raiding that refrigerator.
So in my house, the rule is less about the food and more about the adults not wanting to do extra cleaning behind the kids.
Well, that's part of it, yeah.
So ours is 10 o'clock, right? So it's a little bit later. But don't go out because, you know, 10 o'clock, we're going to start kind of shutting it down.
Yeah.
And we don't want to be monitoring. If you look kind of at my house, the stairs go right by the master bedroom. So anybody comes downstairs, I can see them.
Yeah.
Right, if I got the door open. I done already cleaned up after you. At the 10 o'clock, don't come down. I don't really care about you eating, but don't come down here making no mess that I got to clean up again or waking up to a mess thinking that I've already cleaned the kitchen.
But you're doing it right. You're doing it right.
Well, I got the messiest eating kids that have ever existed on the planet of Earth. So, like, that's part of it. It's like every time y'all touch something, now something is sticky. Mm-hmm. Now my refrigerator door got something on it.
Yeah.
You know, like, come on. Like, we just.
I just cleaned these dishes. Yeah. And out here, you got a cup and a bowl in here now.
A texter also said one that was a rule in my house, and I think it's a rule in a lot of houses. No elbows on the table. Keep your elbows off the table.
Yeah, that's an etiquette thing.
Yeah. That was my grandmother. Yeah. My grandmother used to be, get the elbows off the table.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a lost recipe, though.
I don't get that one, though.
Well, it is a...
Sometimes I'll be looking around whenever I go to a restaurant, especially
still,
a nice one.
Right? You still,
I'll be looking around and see everybody else's elbows. I'm like, all right, it ain't that.
No, I still catch myself.
I've never heard it actually explained, but it is a universal, like, etiquette thing, which, again, I think is a lost recipe because I don't know how much we still... teach etiquette. Like, I went in sixth grade, I went to an etiquette class. They taught you how to, the proper way to
everything,
to dress, the elbows on the table thing, walk down the stairs in front of a woman and not behind, so if she falls on you, and the opposite if you're going up, that type of stuff.
I don't remember that one.
I heard that one.
No, like if you're
I know the woman, you can't walk if you're walking down the street, you got to be on the outside. Where the street
is. It's a similar vein.
I do remember that one.
It's the same sort of thought, though. Yeah. Like, and when you think about it, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And you do that, probably extend that courtesy to even an elder or a child.
Yeah.
Anybody that, if they fall, it's worse than if I fall.
Yeah.
So I need to be in front or in the back if we're going up.
I'm curious to know what B. Scott feel about this because you got the kids and all that stuff. How you feel about the closed doors in the house?
I don't like it. I don't like it. But my kid plays, my son plays, you know, Fortnite and all of them video games and stuff. And they be on there loud talking to each other.
Yeah, that's true.
So I go up there.
Close that door.
And close his door myself.
Yeah.
Now, my oldest one, that one's a little tricky because, like, she's a teenager. I guess wants privacy.
Right.
But I want that door open. Right. So that is an actual, tug and pull kind of situation there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
One of mine was also no sweets in the house. Like, it wasn't a hard and fast rule. but my parents just didn't really eat sweets and didn't see much use for it. And they weren't going to just
hurt.
And they weren't going to just buy it because they had a kid.
Yeah.
Like if one of them had a sweet tooth, then maybe we get it. But it's not, oh, we got a child in here, so we're going to buy sweets.
Yeah.
You're a child. We not listening to you.
Best I could do was cereal and Kool-Aid. We had that. Work. But we didn't have like snack honey buns and stuff like that. I go to somebody else's house, not to spend the night, by the way.
Yeah.
But if I went to somebody else, I'm like, man, y'all got all these snacks?
Yes. Yeah.
We have none of this at home.
Are you guys ready? The game that's kind of sweeping the nation. Ain't really sweeping the nation, though.
Sweeping H time.
Yeah. In the Loop Sports Radio sit stands, Figgy Smith's tape. Are you guys ready for Nicolas Cage and Christian Bale as John Madden and Al Davis? Are you watching this?
Yes.
You watching it?
I'm not predicting that it's going to be good or that I'll like it.
No.
But they are good enough and famous enough and playing good enough and famous enough people to where it'll be hard for me to not at least give it some attention.
I'm with you. I'm going to watch it, but I think it can go in one. It's not going to be.
Yes.
It's not going to be okay.
Yes.
It's either going to be awesome or good Lord.
That's a great way. That is the proper way to frame it.
Good gosh.
Could not agree more. I'm like, with Lopez.
My first thought, where the hell they get Nicolas Cage from, man?
Hey, he's still got to cash those checks, man. He's got a lot of bills.
Yeah, and it looked like he really leaning into the whole John Madden thing, like even his body shape and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, this is really interesting.
It's feast or famine. It's going to be one or the other.
It also kind of just could make us all feel that we just reached a point to where, like, Nicolas Cage, John Madden, you don't really see, but, hey, we're at a point now.
They can pull it off,
Yeah. And he's obviously an actor, but it just, I would have never envisioned this. Now I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued.
Yeah. I keep you all updated when I don't know when the release date is or whatever, but we keep you locked on that. Are you guys ready to hear something ironic or irony?
All right.
Sure.
So Chris Brown posted free Tory Lanez on his Instagram story, and then in less than 24 hours, he got arrested. Is that irony?
That is irony.
Yes, that would qualify. Irony.
So apparently he got arrested in Manchester for allegedly smashing a tequila bottle over a music producer's head at a nightclub in London in 2023.
Oh, wow. They're just bringing the charges
in. They just grabbed him up. I guess he haven't been over there.
Man.
He was over.
That'd be smart if he committed a crime to not go back.
Well, he did ultimately.
He probably forgot about that whole situation a couple years ago.
Dang.
So
he smashed a tequila, allegedly, a tequila bottle over a dude's head.
Yep.
That'll get you arrested.
I don't know if I'm just living obviously I'm living a completely different life from Chris Brown, but I don't, like, smashing a tequila bottle over somebody's head. Like, I haven't been in the space.
Well, you know what the result's going to be. It's not like that might be, a bad thing.
But
it's a very bad thing.
I'm surprised it took this long.
Yeah.
I'm surprised, like, the person, whoever it was, didn't sue or file a civil suit or something like that. But
yeah.
Yeah, I guess I'll keep y'all updated on that. I don't know what's going to happen with that. But are you guys ready to hear a Saints fan reacted to Derek Carr's retiring?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I can always hear that Saints fan.
I kind of want to know, what would y'all confidence level be after hearing all of this? Here's a Saints fan pretty much excited about the retirement of Derek Carr.
Yes, Lord. I had to get off the line because everybody's phone went off at the same time. I thought it was like a weather advisory or something, but no, it was a message from God himself. Only thing we need next is Mickey Loomis gone. That's pretty much it.
Yes, Lord. Hey, you know they mean it when they get that really concise second
and with
word,
passion.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah, with passion, a little breathy passion.
From the God, it was from God. This is from God.
Should y'all be feeling confident if like over this if you a Saints fan?
No,
because like I mean
you're glad he's gone, but what do you got?
I think that's the thing. I feel a little worried. Like I wasn't high on Derek Carr to begin with, but. I'm like, look who you got now.
Yeah.
And look who you could have got.
Right.
It's a reason. It's a reason why they went and got his tired ass to begin with.
Because
they didn't have no answers. They have since not found any answers.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, thought he was the answer, was not, and has now decided that he can't even play no more.
Yeah. And so, the timing, too, would send away my confidence.
Yeah.
Like, doing it after the draft?
Yeah.
I mean.
Like, yeah. they could have did a lot of stuff during that draft. Like, yeah. if he would have retired way early, maybe they could have traded back into the first round to get a Jackson Dart or sure, something like that.
Sure.
Maybe they would have had a different mindset. I ain't saying they should have drafted Shador or nothing, but
yeah.
maybe they would have moved a little differently mm-hmm. in this draft or in free agency.
Like, do you think they drafted Kelvin Banks to just protect right. any old body?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Or was it to protect Derek Carr?
You drafting that to protect your quarterback right,
right
now.
Right.
Because absent of the quarterback, then what might be a better decision to do there?
Yeah.
Let's go get a quarterback.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah. How about an actual quarterback rather than protection quarterback?
Yeah. 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 Kind of, you want to call cart before the horse? That would be it.
Yeah.
That would definitely be it. But yeah, no, the Saints are.
They're tanking, though. They might have known it in advance.
Yeah.
They're going to tank for Arch and come full circle with the Mannings.
Yeah. Pray for our New Orleans folks, man. Yeah.
It is paper bag time out there.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, it is.
The New Orleans Aints.
Yep.
All right, I'll get y'all out of here on this. It's the Mixtape in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. What would y'all do if a customer saw help written on their receipt?
Oh, I saw this.
Yeah, so apparently, mm-hmm. so it was a couple that went to a fast food place in Florida,
mm-hmm.
and they noticed that instead of the name being on the receipt, usually when you look at the receipt, you might see the cashier. Or
your
the,
name.
Yep.
Yeah, it won't be your name, but it'd be the person that took your order.
Yeah, say because, John, Brandon, Figgy.
Yeah,
it'd be on there. And on the receipt, it just said help mm-hmm. in bold letters.
Because they'd have helped.
And it was like, obvious. So also, it was written on their to-go container. So somebody actually wrote in marker, help.
Yeah.
So the couple didn't know what to do, so they posted a picture on social media pretty much saying, what should we do? Should we call the cops? I don't know what's going on. And a lot of people was like, yeah, I think you should say something. Mm-hmm. Maybe something going on. And so they did, and the police sent somebody out there, and they just found out that it was pretty much an employee playing a prank.
Okay, so the key part of this story to me is, what do you mean you don't know what to do? It's on two different things. It says help on the cup and then help on the bag. That is not, you don't put that on social media. You call the cops.
Yeah.
You call the cops.
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
Because, like, I honestly don't know what I would have done.
Yeah.
But
at least get them to go look.
Well, here's what I know what I wouldn't have done. And I don't understand. I guess I do because we're living chronically online these days. But what is the, like, just knee-jerk reaction to when you don't know what to do to just go to social media and ask for help?
Like,
how did we lose our critical thinking and problem solving skills to the point to where we can't just actually figure things out on our own?
If it was just the one thing and it was an accident or you weren't sure, I get it. But two separate places it said help.
Because like,
why are you like crowdsourcing this?
But what if they really needed help?
That's what I'm saying.
And what
just
they needed help, what they needed help from was somehow on social media. And now you've like thrown off their cover. Like, to me, that's that's like the last thing I would have done.
Yeah.
Let's
take the, social media, tell me what to do about this. No.
Yeah, and see, I'm a little old school too, because whenever some drama popping off, let's say somebody arguing or something like that, I never even think about pulling out my phone to record it.
Exactly.
Or let me see what social media thinking. I always think about it last minute or probably way down the line. Like, oh, I should have recorded it or something like that. But I'm just kind of, I'm kind of curious, man. Like, I don't know what I would have did in that situation. I probably would have. I would have looked at my wife like, "Hey, am I thinking too much in this?"
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, I'm really bad with this because I might be like, "Eh, I don't want to get nothing. I don't want to start no drama, or maybe it's nothing." I kind of think too much into it.
Mm-hmm.
But I probably would have tried to find that waitress or whoever it was. Like, "Yo, you good, dog?
Yeah.
Like, everything cool? Let me know."
Well, posting on social media is dumb. Calling maybe the place would have also maybe been dangerous if somebody really
just
needed
call the
help.
Call the cops, have them go look.
And so
just check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All you got to do.
I probably would have left a note with my number or something like, "Hey, hit me up if something wrong." That's it. And outside of that, I think y'all ain't bring it up, but what kind of joke is you doing, man?
I don't get the punchline.
Yeah, I don't get it. Yeah, like, what's the high in this?
Yeah.
I ain't got it.
Wasting my damn time.
Tell you what I do. I'm going to call Lopez and say, "Hey, somebody need help." Help. What do I do? Because I don't know which direction to go from here.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, that's Figgy's Mixtape. Very entertaining.
Yes, sir.
Good Good little discussion there. Coming up next to finish this thing out before we hand things over to the fellas on the drive. Let's go back to this Texan schedule. What stands out most to you? Is there a date that you got circled on the schedule? We'll do that next one in the loop. So we've talked about this Texan schedule every which way that you could possibly talk about it. I want to know, though, what stands out to you most about the schedule? Like, if you got one big, large takeaway, I want to hear it. 713-572-4610, of course, is the text line. You can also catch us on YouTube and Twitch. Sports Radio 610 on YouTube, 610 Houston on Twitch. And, of course, shout out to the Mokarem Law Firm for bringing you that live stream. But for me, Lopez, I'm a point. This is kind of two-pronged, but I'm going to go ahead and give it to you anyway.
It's one thing that's actually two things.
But and one of them is kind of more so related to last year.
Yeah.
But specific to this schedule, the early bye week, okay?
Yeah, you hadn't mentioned that very much, but I know that's bothering you.
I don't love it.
Yeah.
I don't love the early bye week. I guess I've just reached a place where I either want my – I just want my bye week somewhere in the middle. I don't want it super late. I don't want it super early.
Yeah.
But anywhere from the – 7 to 9 week
range.
Well,
yesterday I said I wanted it 8 or 9.
Yeah, which is the obvious number because that's the midpoint.
Yeah.
The fact that it's this early, I don't love that. But I will say, like on the other side of that, last year my big thing, and nobody was talking about this, I felt like with any kind of fervor until it actually rolled up on us during the season, the 3 games in 11 days that they had.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a lot of the pushback you saw this, leading up into this schedule was, hey, I don't want a holiday game. I don't want a Thanksgiving Day game. I don't want a Christmas Day game, which I understand. But what that also entailed, what that also meant was all of these games jumbled up together.
Right.
And I did not want to see the Texans playing 3 games in 11 days like they did last year. Glad to see that they won't do that. But I don't love this early bye week.
Yeah, I get that. I think that's a good one. What stands out to me is in the meat of the schedule, like right in the middle of it, there's a midseason homestand. We have 3 home games in a row. And you only have, I say only because there's 9 road games, but you have 8 home games. So of the 8 home games, you have 3 in a row. And if everything goes according to what we figure, the favorites are going to be home and road. I've seen opening week lines, but nobody's going to yet anyway, going to give you the point spreads predictions for the entire 17 games.
Yeah.
But eyeballing it, you kind of figure, oh, the Rams probably going to be favored week one, so-and-so week two, et cetera. If everything goes according to, how it should go or what we think it will do, those 3 home games in the middle of the season, Niners, Broncos, and Jags, I feel like you're going to have to win all 3 to really make a move because – at the beginning of the year, you only have 2 games in 7 weeks, 2 home games in 7 weeks. That's tough. And you got some good defenses you're facing, starting with the Rams at LA. And then you have, some other, tough teams in there. So if it goes according to Hoyle there, you're going to have a tough stretch to start the season with only 2 home games. At the end of the year, you got Kansas City in December. You've got some tough things at the end. I think the middle of the season, it's not real sexy. It's Niners.
It's Broncos,
and it's the Jags. But I feel like you're going to have to win all 3 of those to really make some hay.
Don't undersell it because it actually leads me into the game that I have circled on the schedule, that I've decided to circle on the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
It is in that stretch that you're talking about. It is actually smack dab in the middle of that stretch that you're talking about. I'm circling the Broncos game.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you why. To me, the Broncos are the most similarly situated team on this schedule to the Texans. The team that's not quite up there with the Chiefs and the Ravens and the Bills of the world, but in the mix and pretty good. And I think ascending in a way that we were talking about the Texans a year ago and maybe not still talking about them in the same way, but I feel like the Broncos are right there. To me, that is a clash of ascending AFC teams with young quarterbacks and coaches who are not so new to their environments now. Like both of those coaches now in year 3 with those teams have established, culture and identity within those teams, got the young quarterbacks. That is a matchup that I'm circling smack dab in the middle of the Texan schedule at home against the Broncos in a stretch that you mentioned is critical for the team.
Yeah, no, I feel like, and maybe I'm just playing straw man here, but I feel a lot of people don't really appreciate how tough the first 7 weeks of the season is going to be for the Texans. And maybe, again, most people do. But the first 7 weeks, 6 weeks, you got two home games and you got your Tampa Monday night, good squad, you know, playoff team at the Rams. We saw them in the playoffs make some noise, almost derail the Eagles, who ended up winning the Super Bowl. You got at Jacksonville, which I feel is going to be a W, but still, you know, new coach, new GM, Titans at home. You lost to them last year at home. They've got a good defensive front. And then at Ravens. I feel it's really being undersold how tough the start of the year is.